Welcome to Staples.
Staples guy, my New Year's resolution is to get new customers in the door.
Well, Staples has everything you need to promote your business. Signs, pens, mugs, you name it.
Perfect.
And right now you can get 15% off custom banners and posters.
15% off? That's one resolution off my list.
Oh, how many were there?
Just the one.
Then, Happy New Year.
This year, resolve to promote your business at Staples. And right now, get 15% off custom banners and posters. Staples, make more happen.
Offer ends 3/24/17. See a Staples associate for details.
This is Chris here, co-host of The Two Man Game. Just want to say thank you all for listening. And this episode is brought to you by Steiner Sports. Steiner Sports is the leading producer of authentic sports memorabilia and hand-signed collectibles. Our listeners, we got your idea. Go there, do all your shopping, use Almighty as your discount code, and you get 20% off. You can get all kind of gear, autographed products. We got some amazing stuff, man. Go check out Steiner Sports. Use promo code Almighty.
Welcome in. You are back with us on the Two Man Game, the podcast brought to you by the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. I am Matt Barnes. You can find me on Twitter at Matt_2ManGame. I am, of course, joined by my co-host, Chris Hines. You can find him on Twitter at SimplyHoops with a Z. You can find his writing at simplyhoops.wordpress.com. We're coming to you January 31, 2017. Drama-filled last few days. And, of course, jumping right into this whole thing, we have a war of words once again on our hands. This time, though, it is involving the king, the chosen one, LeBron James, the franchise player, the best player in the world, the heartbeat of the Cleveland Cavaliers. Cleveland has been going through the struggles. We've documented them now for quite some time. They are on a backslide. Charles Barkley is a pretty key part of the TNT crew, the Inside the NBA crew, along with Ernie Johnson, Shaq, and Kenny Smith. And Charles had something to say about LeBron and how he was basically whiny and that he didn't want to compete and that he wanted all the good players that he could have and that Cleveland has a really high payroll. All these things were true, but LeBron took exception to that, and he basically lost his mind. He called Charles Barkley out just about as badly as you can call him out. So Chris kind of just picking it up and taking it from there, LeBron just goes nuts, and what do you make of this whole thing?
I mean, honestly, I'm not upset with LeBron. Because I feel like he's had on this nice guy front for years. Literally, he's had cameras on his face since he was in high school, nonstop. And it was about time, you know? It's about time he snapped and just let people have it, you know? I like what he said because he was basically just defending himself. And he's been ridiculed for years and years and years all throughout his NBA career, you know, no matter what he's done. People have been on his head about something. They just won't leave him alone. Whatever he does is not good enough. So I knew eventually he was going to get to a point where he just snapped. And I feel like Charles Barkley is the perfect person to snap on, seeing as how he goes at it with so many people. If you go off on him, you won't be looked at as a bad guy because that's just his person. That's what he does. And most people look at it like, okay, finally somebody got him. He deserved it. So I'm not mad at what LeBron said. I appreciate that he finally said something.
Right. So, I mean, it was really, really bad what he said about Chuck. He pretty much went at him as hard as he could. And he's calling him a hater and questioning his credibility. He says, what makes what he says credible because he's on TV? And a bunch of shots. I'm not the one who threw somebody through a window. I never spit on a kid. I never had unpaid debt in Vegas. I never said I'm not a role model. I never showed up to All-Star Weekend on Sunday because I was in Vegas all weekend partying. All I've done for my entire career is represent the NBA the right way. 14 years, never got in trouble. Respected the game. Print that. So this is basically the kiss of death. as far as I'm concerned. I mean, Charles Barkley, I mean, I don't know how many of our listeners are familiar with the phrase 10 pounds of crap in a 5-pound bag, but that's pretty much what Charles Barkley has been his entire career as an analyst. He was a little bit more controlled as a player, but as an analyst, he's just pretty much always talking nonsense. And not a lot of what he says makes sense. He says a lot of things that feels like for shock value. He's supposed to be an analyst, or at least provide some sort of commentary, and he spends time saying things like he doesn't watch the games, or that the games that TNT is broadcasting are not good games, not good basketball. He's really just pretty much has that get off my lawn mentality that a lot of these former players do now that their heyday has passed them by and they kind of have to pass the baton to the younger guys. So I was glad that LeBron said something back to Charles Barkley, because somebody needs to. I mean, he's always kind of just talking, you know what, like all the time.
He nonstop. Was,
right, yeah. He said something about all the punk-ass reporters that are young guys that are scared to call LeBron out, that act like he's God. And some reporters have taken exception to that. Nick Wright, who is on FS1, who is a regular guest on The Herd with Colin Cowherd, who occasionally fills in for Colin and hosts The Herd, heard those comments by Barkley and took exception to them. But the problem is that Nick Wright looks like he's about 6 foot, a buck 60 soaking wet, so he's not he's not really going to pop off at Charles Barkley. So, I mean, I really enjoyed the theater. I do. I like it, the back and forth, all this stuff. I find it highly entertaining. But is this a function of a bigger problem within Cleveland, in the locker room, within that organization? Are they fatigued? Are they reaching for something? Is LeBron just trying to rock the boat so much that eventually the organization capitulates to what he wants, gives him the players that he feels like he needs, and he's just going, we're going to see more of this until some changes or some moves are made?
I feel like it's a little bit of everything at this point. It's a little frustration, it's a little fatigue, you know, because they lost to the Mavericks. I mean, come on, they're the Mavericks. Like, come on, that's a bad loss.
Right.
And we've seen them lose a lot of close games recently. And I feel like LeBron is just in a very, very bad, like a negative space right now mentally. I'm not sure what he can do to get his mind back on track, but he needs to do something. I don't think any moves can be made. Like I said before, I think that they should go and get a backup point guard like Shelvin Mack. They have a few other options out there, Jameer Nelson. But if they can't get those guys, then they kind of just have to deal with what they have. And it's sad because LeBron, the main reason why he's frustrated is because he knows they don't have enough to compete with the Western Conference teams. He knows that. So that's what he's frustrated about. And getting Kyle Korver was an okay move, but you really needed that backup point guard. I saw Mario Chalmers tweeting earlier today. He was on his way to Cleveland, but I don't see Chalmers as being that helpful. You know, I just don't see what you would do with him. And just to go back to Barkley's comments, I think that what Barkley said has some truth to it. There was some merit there, but he's the wrong messenger. What he said was right. Valuable, but he's not the right guy to be saying it, you know? Because
no.
Barkley just has so much of a tainted past. You just don't really want to hear any criticism from him. He's not the guy that can tell you what to do and you say, okay, and learn and take heed from him. He's just not the guy. But some of what he said does make sense. LeBron does handpick his teams, and they did win last year, and he is always asking for something else. But this Barkley isn't the guy. So I feel like if they, honestly, at this point, it would not surprise me with all of the issues they're having. Everybody keeps saying don't panic, but this is the time for them to panic. This is the time to be worried, because once you get out of that All-Star break, nobody wants to be having issues then. You want to have a nice consistent stride of winning. You know, you don't want to have the last 2 months of the season be a struggle, because when playoff time comes, you need to be in a good groove, you know. So I think this is a time for them to be worried about it and fix all of their problems. So in the right now, they need to make some changes if they are, but because after the All-Star break, it'll be too late if you ask me. And it wouldn't surprise me if they lost to a team that was hot. Like, if the Raptors came in hot, they could possibly beat them in 7 games. The way the Cavs are playing right now would not shock me. It would not shock me.
Yeah, they're having some issues right now. They're having issues with Kevin Love's health. You know, there's obviously this. There's the noise being made. We talked on one of the last couple of shows about LeBron's explosion, about no playmaker for the second unit being in the cards. I hear reports of Lance Stevenson getting a workout with Cleveland, Kirk Heinrich getting a workout with Cleveland, guys that aren't really difference makers, but guys that are going to pad the second unit so he can really just get some rest. If I'm LeBron and the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm not really worried about any of these other teams in the East. You know that you're not going to catch Golden State for the best record in the league, so you are going to have to go on the road if you get to the finals, and you're going to have to win in their building. That's established at this point, because Cleveland's got 15 losses. Golden State's sitting at 41-7. I don't see Golden State losing 15 games all year, so they probably already have the number one seed locked. That's fair, right?
Yeah,
number
definitely.
One overall.
Yeah, I would.
Right.
It wouldn't shock me, yeah.
Right, so if I'm LeBron, if I'm Cleveland, why doesn't he do what he did either last season or a couple of seasons ago and just go put yourself on the shelf for a couple of weeks, get all the way back to square one, or as close to square one as you can get your mind right, get yourself together for this playoff push. If they do lose the one seed somehow, I mean, if he's fresh, if he's right, I'm not worried about them going to the Raptors or to Boston and winning a game there. I don't really see that as being a big hurdle. And Boston is coming on. So if you ask me, I think that they are going to supersede Toronto. They've taken the lead on them. So they're probably going to end up as the two. They're the likely team that is going to end up facing them, I would say. And even out of those two teams, I don't know. I sort of feel like they would have to have a meltdown to lose to one of those two teams. Tristan Thompson is a guy that is on their team that is an important piece, a guy that seemed like he could have potentially been offended by what LeBron said in the media when he's making mention of them being a top-heavy team. And he says something to the effect that he earns his money. Now, I think that Tristan Thompson's a really, really valuable piece for the Cavaliers. He doesn't provide a lot of scoring or playmaking, so I don't think that those comments were necessarily pointed at him. But were you surprised that he fired off in the media the way that he did, responding to the comments that LeBron made?
I wasn't surprised by that either, because I feel like you sort of needed that, you know, because when LeBron stated that about his teammates, you got to kind of remember these are professionals as well, you know, and Tristan Thompson doesn't even seem like the type of guy who's going to sit back and just take it. He's going to speak up for himself, you know, so I respect Tristan Thompson for what he said, you know, like you do go out there and compete and perform every day just like this man does. So you have a right to state that, you know, and sometimes LeBron can't forget that. So I didn't have an issue with what he said, and I like what he said. Just simple, you know, it wasn't a lot of extra fluff around. He got straight to the point. And I feel like it wouldn't be as shocking when players did this if more players were just honest, most of the time at least.
Right. Yeah, now he spoke his mind, or Chloe told him to speak his mind? Which one do you think it is? Because he's a quiet guy normally.
Yeah, but if he's still dealing with Chloe, I think that, I don't know, I just feel like that family is cursed. You got to stay away from them. Word to Jaden right? Rose, man, run. Don't do it, run.
Right. So, I mean, Cleveland, this whole thing, LeBron, Barkley, it's not going away. It's there's chances that we're going to be covering it some more, because if I am paying attention to the reports that are in the news cycle today, Barkley has a response to LeBron's comments. So I'm sure that we will be covering those at a future date. Cleveland, I still think it's going to be real hard for them to not win the East. I almost think that they're the better team just by default. And I feel like if LeBron is able to, in some way, to recharge his batteries, even if he only takes a week and just sits and gets himself right, gets himself feeling a little bit better. You know, the fact that he leads the league in minutes to me is just obscene. I find that crazy.
Oh, man.
So,
that's
right?
Terrifying. I mean,
it's dangerous. So I really hope that they just are able to get themselves together so they can really do this trilogy justice. I want both teams healthy. I want to see the addition of Kevin Durant to the Warriors and those two teams fully healthy with all of the weapons in both of their arsenals. And I want to see them lock horns. I want this thing to be the greatest piece of basketball that it can be, because I think that you probably agree with me. If we're in 15, 20 years down the road, we're going to look back at this lock of the horns between Cleveland and Golden State, and we're going to think of it the way that kids from the 80s think of the Celtics and the Lakers. I think it really is getting to that level, especially with all of the stars that are involved on both sides. So I really hope that Cleveland is able to get right and turn themselves around and is able to challenge Golden State as much as they can, because as of right now, if the finals were to start today, I'm afraid for Cleveland and what would happen. So we're going to have to move on from that, and we're going to talk about Steven Jackson, a guy that's been retired for a little bit of time for the NBA, but a piece came out just a few days ago on ESPN, and it's basically about Steven Jackson talking about how he was smoking marijuana sometimes even right before the games. And I don't know, this really doesn't come as a surprise to me, but what do you think, Chris? Do you have a problem with the players smoking pot before games or during the season? Do you see that as a bad thing?
Some people are going to dislike me for this one, but I'm going to keep it real. I'm being honest. When it comes to marijuana, I feel like the fact that it's a plant, it shouldn't be illegal. But I do feel like you should only be able to use it in certain situations. Whereas you shouldn't be able to smoke before a game. That should be an issue, of course. But I feel like with the injuries and just with the wear and tear that professional athletes deal with, they shouldn't ever be in trouble for smoking marijuana when it's been shown through research and clinical trials that this is good for you, it helps you. Because I've had knee surgery myself after I tore my ACL, my MCL, and they actually prescribed me marijuana. I didn't take it, but I know it would have helped. You know, I was in pain every single night, just literally where I couldn't sleep. And marijuana is something that can help that. You know, if you're an NFL player and like the way they had these schedules now where you play Sunday night and then you play again Thursday, marijuana is something that could potentially help you deal with that pain. Same with NBA players. When you have a back-to-back, you have four games and six nights, something crazy like that. You should be able to smoke marijuana. You should be able to do that, use it after those games as part of the healing process. I feel like with all these states making it available for recreational use, it should definitely be allowed for professional athletes because they need it as well. So I don't think he should, I wouldn't praise him for smoking before the game, But if you use marijuana after as part of a healing process, you know, to deal with concussions or things like that, I wouldn't be upset with that. I feel like that should be something that is allowed for all professional athletes in all sports.
Right. Yeah. I am not on the side of being angry with this at all. I totally think that it's acceptable. And it actually, it's a story that was on ESPN, but Jackson was actually on I Am Rappaport. It's a podcast with Michael Rappaport, the comedian, the New York native. He's been on a lot of sports shows. I think he's been on Undisputed. I know he's been on First Take, and he's got a fair amount of sports knowledge. So he had Steve Jackson on, and, you know, Michael Rappaport, he'll just talk to you like he's having a conversation. They got into talking about weed and Steven Jackson. I mean, here's a guy that he's been through a lot in his NBA career, and I'm sure that he just didn't shy away from it. He says, I just got to be real, you know. I spent a couple games where I smoked before games and had great games. It's been some games where I smoked before the game and was on the bench after 3 minutes sitting on the sideline. And then he's telling himself, please calm down. This high has to calm down. So it was like he smoked too much and he was paranoid or something like that. And he says, I done shot 3 shots that went over the backboard. Like, I'm going to be honest. I got to calm down. So, I mean, that sounds like he could have potentially went overboard, but when we talk about this thing from a medicinal point of view, especially with the NFL and I would also say probably in the UFC as well, a lot of these guys, it's so intense, the combat that they're undergoing on a regular basis is so intense and the competition is at such a high level. These guys are getting hurt, and if they're going to get hurt, often the doctor's answer is pain medication in the form of opiate-based pain pills. And if the choice is those or marijuana, I would say that you give the patient marijuana 99 times out of 99. You don't give people opiate-based pain medication because you've just seen so many horror stories of people becoming addicted to that stuff, that marijuana is definitely the better answer. I think the story here, though, isn't about the medication and the way that it's administered and whether or not pills are a better form of treatment than pot. I think the story here is a lot of the guys in the NBA smoke pot, and I don't really have a problem with it. I think that it's fine. I think that they should be able to do whatever it is that they want to do, especially in certain states. I mean, in Denver and all of the teams in California, if they are smoking pot, they're perfectly within the lines of the law. It's the same thing as drinking alcohol. So, I don't know. What do you really... Do you think that players are better? I don't know. I really don't know how to word this question without it being like super controversial. It's really, I think, the best thing for guys to be hanging out and in a social setting smoking marijuana as opposed to in the club getting drunk and then either getting behind the wheel of the car or somebody else. I just feel like it's the much safer route. Is that the wrong way to look at this?
No, it actually makes sense. I mean, when you look at, like, when you watch the movie Concussion and you just see what that head trauma does to those players, it's something that you definitely, like, parents are terrified of things like that. And it's something that nobody will want to go through, or especially their loved ones to go through or experience, you know, just having those issues. And I definitely feel like the main reason why they haven't allowed marijuana to be a legal substance all the way around is because it'll be very, very hard to sort of control it, you know. Whereas now, if you smoke weed, then of course you're in trouble immediately. Whereas if they said, okay, you can smoke after games, then they have to do a lot more regulating. And that'll be a lot more work for all the leagues to do, you know, especially like the NFL. It'd be a lot of work for them to manage and regulate when players are doing it, how much they're using, you know, how often, things like that. It would be a big headache, so I feel like that's why they haven't. But I definitely do agree with you on a point where it's much better than the medicine, you know, the medication that God knows what they're putting into all these pills. And players have the horror stories of getting the shots and stuff and different things so they can just go back out there and compete for the team. But I feel like, and just from my personal point of view, I'm not upset with, I don't judge any player that uses marijuana to deal with pain from playing any sport, because I've experienced, now I'm not going to compare my pain to NBA players' pain, but I've experienced a high level of pain before, so I totally understand why they would do that.
Right. And just one last thing before we move on, you made a lot of interesting points, but according to the interview with Michael Rapaport that Steven Jackson gave on his podcast, Don Nelson knew that himself and Baron Davis were smoking pot, and they would often joke with Don Nelson about waiting for the last drug test of the season so they would be able to smoke freely for the rest of the season, not having to worry about being tested. Are you surprised by those comments by Steven Jackson that Don Nelson actually knew and joked that Steven Jackson and Baron Davis were smoking pot?
Actually, no. I feel like the whole NBA is in on this sort of joke. Like, I feel like everyone knows, but I do think that the NBA does a better job of keeping things quiet than the NFL. Because if you notice in the NFL, like, they have a lot of their issues out and just out in the open for people to discuss, and we hear about a lot of it. Whereas the NBA, they like to nip things in the bud very quickly. For example, the whole Colin Kaepernick knee during the national anthem, that was like a big deal for the NFL, and they didn't really know how to handle it. Whereas the NBA, before the NBA season started, they had several meetings with owners and officials just to talk about what's allowed and what's not allowed, and then they explain to the players what's allowed and what's not allowed, just to avoid all of those problems. So I feel like the NBA does a great job of handling their problems, and I feel like Adam Silver is one of the best commissioners in sports, if not the best. Like, he handles everything. Like, when we had the issue with North Carolina, and they literally moved the All-Star game from there to New Orleans, like, that's just something that other commissioners, like Commissioner Goodell, would have just messed that up completely. Just look at what he did with the Ray Rice situation. It's just been bad. And the NBA handles things a lot better. So I feel like they do an amazing job with handling things. So I think that they already have this sort of, like, almost like a cult agreement that we're all going to do it. And if you don't do it, even if you do or you don't speak about it. You don't talk about it. That's why everybody sort of was on George Karl for putting so much of the business in the streets. But if you notice, you haven't heard his name. And since that situation, he kind of got pushed to the side. He's not any more headlines.
I think he blackballed himself. Honestly, I think he blackballed himself with that book. So I hope that book does really sell well, because if it doesn't, I don't see George Karl on the sidelines ever again. Or, quite frankly, not even really on TV. I mean, if he does go on TV, if he decides that, or actually if ESPN or another network decides they want to take him in, I think a lot of the former players that are also working for the network are going to have problems with that. So I think that you're right. I think a lot of people do know, and I think that in general, guys that are smoking pot on a regular basis are less susceptible to DUIs and bad incidents in the club and things of that nature. So I think that could be why they look at it the way that they do. So we're going to move on. A segment that we've been implementing on the show for the last few episodes, we're going to move on to Who'd You Rather? And we have a couple of really interesting topics to get into. The first one that we're going to get into is not really a who'd you rather, but we pit two aging point guards against each other, and we ask each other and you, the listener, who is more washed. And our choices are Derrick Rose and Rajon Rondo. So out of these two guys, both of which on the downside of their career, which one of these guys is more washed, Chris?
Oh, man, this is a tough question, because I feel like with D-Rose, when he can't make it to the stadium and get on the floor, he can give you a little something, but he still can't shoot. His explosiveness is obviously gone. He's never been that great of a defender. Then when you look at Rondo, he's still an issue in the locker room. He doesn't give you anything really scoring-wise. He, as D-Wade would say, assist hunts. He's decent on the defensive end. This is hard, man. I would have to say more wash. I'm still going with Rondo. Like, I feel like if D-Rose played less minutes and you had a decent, like, if you had a good starting point guard and you put D-Rose on the bench and he came off as, like, the eighth man, he could be effective in, like, little 6 minutes, 5-6 minute spurts and only maybe 18, 20 minutes a game. Like, if he played that role, Derrick Rose would be much more useful. But with Rondo, it's just, you never know what you're going to get from him. And like, the biggest thing is your point guard has to be somewhat of a threat. And Rondo just isn't a threat, man. I have to go with, Rondo is definitely more wash, man.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's hard not to agree with you there, but I'm going to make an attempt at making a case for Derrick Rose being the more washed of the two. We've got Derrick Rose, a guy that was an MVP of the entire league just 6 years ago. In the 2010-2011 season, he was the youngest MVP in the history of the NBA. So we go from that in 2010-2011. This guy's 22 years old. He wins the MVP. Of course, we know that he has been much maligned with injuries quite often throughout the last several years, right? And we've got his situation now in New York. He's been there all of 43 games. The New York media is assessing his trade value. There are articles out on the internet suggesting that you trade Carmelo and buy out Derrick Rose. You don't even bother finding a trade partner for this guy that was an MVP 6 years ago. I mean, 6 years is a long time, but you're looking at a guy who's the youngest MVP. So technically, he should be coming into his prime. Derrick Rose is 28. That blows me away that he's 28. He's basically the same age as Eric Bledsoe. So think about that. I mean, that's just nuts to me. And even though he is washed, he's had a horrible last few years. He's made a bunch of comments in the media that were off-putting when he's talking about how he sees all these other guys getting paid and he can't wait for his payday. He had another time where he said that he's got to think about how he's going to be able to walk to meetings and to drop his kid off to school and stuff like that when he stops playing, because he was being basically accused of sitting out and not really being all that injured his last couple of years as a Chicago Bull. And not only that, I think that if we're talking about these two guys, I think it's fair to say that league-wide and even with fans, that people have the higher expectation for Derrick Rose.
Oh, is yeah, that, definitely. Yeah. Expect a lot more from Derrick Rose. I would definitely say that. It's like, some players, when they come off that injury, they find their way back. Like Jabari Parker, like he wasn't super old, but he wasn't super young. But when after Parker came back, he actually got better from it. Derrick Rose just seems like he never ever really fully got back to it, you know. And I don't know, man. I still feel like I can get more from Derrick Rose than Rondo. Because I just, like Rondo, my main thing has always been teamwork. Because in the NBA, it's impossible to win without having a cohesive unit. You can have all the talent in the league, but if your team can't play together and really work together to get the job done, you will not win. And Rondo seems like wherever he goes, there seems to be some issue. Now, it'd be different if it was just once every now and then, but we heard about issues with him in Boston. He had issues in Dallas. Like, he's everywhere. Had issues everywhere. So I feel like he has to be the common factor. So I'd rather go with Derrick Rose than Rondo.
Oh, so you would rather have Derrick Rose than Rondo. So Rondo is the more washed of the two, is what you're saying. But it's just that Derrick Rose, he's going to give you more, even though it's not what he used to be able to give.
Yeah, he's going to give me more, but he's still, it's not up for debate. He's still washed. Like, yes, that definitely is.
Right. Yeah. I mean, for me, just because he's fallen so far in such a short period of time, and he is not an old guy, going from league MVP all the way to speculation as to whether or not the team should buy you out and whether or not that's a more viable option than finding a trade partner. That, for me, tells me that he might not be the more washed of the two, but he's definitely fallen a lot further than Rajon Rondo has. I don't think anybody ever considered Rajon Rondo the best or one of the top 3-point guards in the league. And at a certain point in time, around the time that Rose won the MVP, I would say that he was definitely a top 3-point guard in a lot of people's minds at that time. So, I mean, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not that great to be poking at about how washed up a guy is, but I mean, it's just an interesting comparison. So with that, we're going to move on and we're going to look at two coaches, two former Iowa State graduates, as it would be, strangely enough. And we're going to look at the worst situation for a coach in the NBA. We've got actually same teams. We've got Chicago and the Knicks, Fred Hoiberg and Jeff Hornacek. Out of those two guys, who is in the worst situation coaching-wise?
Oh, this is another tough one, man. This is tough. Because both of these teams are just stuck, man. I would still have to say Hornacek. Yeah, because, I mean, what do you do in New York? It's like they've been on such a bad path for so long. The fans are just restless. And after getting Porzingis, it seemed like it was going good. And it's still going bad. Like, they thought they would win more games. And this season has been very on the downslide. And then Melo, mm-hmm. That's just a fiasco in itself. And, I mean, at least Hoiberg, at least he has Jimmy Butler. I mean, that's
right.
A good one. You got Butler, you got Wade, Rondo's a headache, but you know, you still have something there. Hornacek does have Porzingis, but having Melo seems like much more of a burden than having Rondo, because Melo has no trade calls, and I just don't feel like he's been playing at all-star level, which is why he's not on an all-star team. So that's another thing that's hurting the Knicks, because when you have a player of that caliber, they expect to be respected as an all-star. But when they aren't performing at that level, they still want that respect. But we can't come down and isolate for you every time and keep feeding you the ball if you aren't giving us anything. So I think that really – and then let's not even – I cannot forget to mention Phil Jackson. Like, it's just terrible. He's like that boss that's just over your shoulder and telling you how to breathe. Like, that has to be very, very frustrating for Hornacek. So Hornacek is definitely, without a doubt, Hornacek.
Yeah, real quick before you finish up, you saw Derek Fisher, I'm assuming, you saw that he sounded off in the media about how he was 23-31 last year when he got fired, with less talent than Hornacek has currently at 21-28. Did you take that as a shot at Phil or a shot at Hornacek?
I think it was a shot at Phil. I think Derek Fisher feels sorry for Hornacek, like, low-key, because he was in that situation where Phil was just in his ear telling him everything to do. And you can't really coach. Phil just wants to be a puppet. He wants to be a puppet master, and he won't hire a coach unless he can basically pull the strings and control what he does. And I think that's one of the things that's holding the Knicks back. But yeah, Hornacek, oh man, I feel for that guy.
Right. Yeah, I mean, for me, if I'm looking at all of the head coaches across the entire league, all of these guys, it's 30 teams, 30 head coaches, all of them undoubtedly brilliant basketball minds. That's not up for debate. Now, how much you know about basketball I mean, that's great if you are a basketball genius or if you're just this wealth of knowledge when it comes to the game. But coaching is not just about knowledge of the game of basketball. It's also about leadership. It's about managing egos. It's about getting these 12, 15 guys to all have one heartbeat and to go in the same direction and do the thing that you want them to do and basically have them fulfill your vision. Out of the 30 guys in the entire league, I really don't think that there is a worse coach in the entire NBA than Jeff Hornacek. I think that he's the absolute worst. I've seen him in Phoenix. I saw the things that he used to do. He doesn't know who to play and when to play them. He changes his rotations up all the time. He'd have young players that would go in and out of the rotation, so he's screwing with their confidence. These guys didn't know what role they played within the team or within the organization. He is an absolute disaster. I'm sure that he's a very smart guy when it comes to basketball, but as far as coaching goes, I don't think it's for him. And if it is for him, maybe he needs to slide over a seat to the left and be an assistant or something like that, because being a head coach does not appear to be for you. Fred Hoiberg, on the other hand, he has had some success, even though it was at the college level. He did have success at Iowa State when he was coaching Iowa State. This whole experience so far with the Bulls hasn't been great, but when we look at the two guys, he is at least in playoff contention or closer to it. And he just had so many distractions and so many dysfunctions within that team. It's hard to say that he is doing a worse job or is in a worse situation than Hornacek. I really do think that Hornacek is in the worst situation and, like I said, is probably the worst player, or I'm sorry, worst coach in the NBA. So our last and final topic, man, we are just on a negative trend today. Everything is about somebody being washed or somebody being in a bad situation coaching-wise. Our final topic is, who is the bigger waste of money? So putting the finishing touches on the show, who's the bigger waste of money? We've got Chandler Parsons from the Memphis Grizzlies and Brandon Knight from the Phoenix Suns. Who, in your mind, is the bigger waste of money? What do you say, Chris?
Chandler Parsons, without question. Chandler Parsons. Like, this guy was decent when he played with the Rockets, but he just hasn't done anything for me lately. Like where is he going? Only time I even hear anything about Chandler Parsons is when he's in the news for something he did on social media or something. Never is it about, like, his production on the court. You know, this season he's only averaging 6.5 points, 2 rebounds, and 1 assist. It's kind of like, what are you really, like, how are you really contributing? You know, and he's always hurt now. He just can't stay on the floor. Whereas I feel like Brandon Knight, he has had an embarrassing career, man. He's been on the wrong end of a lot of highlights. But I would definitely rather take Brandon Knight over Parsons, because Parsons, I just don't think I'm going to get anything from him. Brandon Knight, he does have his good nights. He does have his good days and really good days. Parsons, his is once in a blue moon, man, every now and then. So, yeah, man, I have to go with Brandon Knight on this one. Parsons is just, oh, man, he's definitely the biggest win. And how did Memphis pay? Oh, he just robbed him. That dude is a thief. He's a thief.
4 for 95. 4 for 95.
Oh, my God. Things like
that.
Between
him and Mike Conley, right? I mean, Mike Conley, at least he's earning his money. He's having a great season. He just dropped 38 on the Suns last night in a huge win on national TV. But you are right about Chandler Parsons. 6.5 points a game in 18 minutes. He's only appeared in 21 games, so he has been hurt a lot of the about half of the time. He played 2 seasons in Dallas. That flamed out in spectacular fashion. His scoring average has been nosediving since 13-14. He's all the way down to 6.5 points. We've got Brandon Knight. He, of course, Phoenix Suns, 5 years, $70 million. Not as much money, or not really even close to as much money as Chandler Parsons. It's one more year, $25 million less. But we look at Brandon Knight, and this is a guy who has barely played over the last probably month or so. He's appeared in 45 games this season, started four of them, but is only averaging 21.8 minutes a game on 39% shooting. So, I mean, neither one of them a very fiscally responsible investment, I would say. But Brandon Knight, $14 million a year for a backup point guard on a team with the second worst record in the NBA, the absolute worst record in the Western Conference in the Phoenix Suns. Memphis is competing, and they are doing so in spite of Chandler Parsons and his $94 million mistake, I guess is what we would call it, because I just don't understand how 6.5 points a game is worth $23.5 million a season, which is the math on the Chandler Parsons contract. So, I mean, that is tough when it comes time to sign Marc Gasol, because Marc Gasol is going to be a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, that is true. And now you got to figure out how to pay him, because I don't think he'll leave Memphis. But man, you never know these days, man. You never know. I feel like some players are going to get tired. You know, they get tired of just sort of existing in a league, and they want that ring so bad, they'll be willing to go to any team. So yeah, they don't have to figure that out. I just don't see how they did that. That was not a smart investment. Shout out to Chandler Parsons' agent, man, for pulling that deal off. I respect that.
Right, yeah, he definitely collected his commission on that one. He got a huge check from that for $94 million out 4 years. So both of them, I would say, almost equal as bad, but I would say that Brandon Knight's slightly worse based on the fact that he can't even contribute to a team with a 15-33 record that is basically vying for the number one pick in the upcoming draft. So I just think all the way around, pretty bad for both players. And I'm hoping that at least one of them turns it around soon, because if they don't, that just has to hurt on payday, writing those checks for that kind of money.
Yeah, most definitely, man. Definitely.
Right? So that's going to do it. We are going to wrap it up on the two-man game. I would like to thank everyone for listening. I am Matt Barnes. You can find me on Twitter at @Matt_the2man game. I am, of course, joined by my co-host, Chris Hines. You can find him on Twitter at @SimplyHoops. And his writing at simplyhoops.wordpress.com. Thank everyone for listening. We will talk to you all next week. We are out.
Now, you can't just call yourself an expert. You got to earn that title. And at Wingstop, we've been earning it for decades. Want the secret? Start from scratch. Make to order. Sauce by hand in one of 11 mind-melting flavors. Serve hot with scratch-made ranch. Repeat for over 20 years. That's how you become an expert. Wingstop, the wing experts.